deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos, to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa, to the brightest light that shine on Tython. This is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 49 of Flashpoint. We've had a little bit of a break over the last month, so we're all back relatively fresh, albeit sweaty given the weather. And it's always great to welcome the two people that help make this podcast worth listening to. Simon, how are you?
I'm very well, sir. Happy New Year.
You too. And Christy, how are you going?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good. So apologies to those out there. I know we're recording this a couple of days later than usual. We just had some technical and personnel scheduling conflicts, let's say that way. So we're doing this on a Tuesday night for something different. And as always, there's no shortage of stuff to get through. So let's jump straight into some Republic news.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1... Republic News.
In the month since we last recorded an episode, BioWare have been a little bit busy on the Star Wars The Old Republic side, and there's actually quite a bit to talk about. I thought we'd start off with, probably the broader stuff around patches before we get on to the really exciting stuff. So 1.6.2 patch dropped last week. I'm losing track this time of year. And there seems to be just overall more people in game, which you'd expect again because particularly down this end of the woods, some people have some time off, and in America it's, you know, middle of winter, so lots more people indoors playing games. Throwing to you first, Simon, I know you've put in some good hours on Star Wars The Old Republic in the last month. Have you found the game over that time, and you're noticing increased people?
I have to admit, on the Australian servers, it's been really up and down. Although the server has been reporting heavy or very heavy, at least the RP server has been for Australasia, I can't really say that when I've been looking at the little giveaway numbers on the top left saying how many people are in on that planet, they've not been that high. So I can only assume the sharding is really working overtime and shunting people off to there must be multiple shards running. I mean, a lot of multiple shards running for those numbers to be low when the servers are showing so much traffic overall.
Yeah, so we're talking about maybe a lot of people playing in-game content and PvP too.
Yeah. I would guess there's more people in war zones and operations, obviously.
Yeah, I'd say more war zones and operations, you're right. Christy, I know you haven't had quite as much time to play. You've been a busy person, but any comments you made on sort of the patching and general gameplay over the last month?
Unfortunately, there's not really much I can say. It's been pretty much business as usual on my end here. I haven't really sort of noticed anything brilliant or terrible.
Yeah, which sort of sums up the game a lot of the time. Now, Simon, unless I'm mistaken, I don't think last episode we recognised you hitting level 50, or did we?
We didn't, because I hadn't.
Okay, there you go. So you've done it.
Yay,
yes,
congrats.
Yes, yes, thank you. Ding. So that was very relieving, actually. I was beginning to wonder if I'd ever get there. But that's what happens if you play an MMO and you don't bother to play with anyone else.
I can see that I resemble that remark.
Needless to say, my social score is still sitting at 1.
So. Actually, you know,
yeah, that's why it takes a while.
And very sadly, I think mine's only about, it's not high anyway. Yeah, I can sympathise with that.
Although I'm going to use this as a rationale for this is I now have an insight as to how someone who's playing the game free to play without buying Warzone, weekly Warzone, weekly operation, cartel market items. I know what it's like to grind through without any of that sort of crap.
Yeah, you did it the real way.
I did it the man's way, or exactly. At least the stupid man's way.
Yes. Yeah, so no, it's good. And I know you mentioned offline at one stage, you ran into the same issue I did in that you hit level 50 and your story hadn't finished, which is not unusual, but there's a real, I don't know, it's funny, you hit level 50, feel that you've achieved something, but there's still a fair way to go, isn't there?
Obviously I'm not going to do any spoilers for the 2 5-year-olds that still haven't finished their class mission in their Sith Warriors. But yeah, hitting what I assume is very close to being at the end. Obviously it's Corellia because that's where everyone finishes. And yeah, the one guy is giving me an awful lot of trouble. I think I found a winning strategy, which basically involves running around and around every time my health gets below a certain point, and letting my healer bump me up a bit, then having another thrash at the guy, and then running around and around and around until I get healed up a bit more again. I'm thinking that's probably not the way Darth Vader would have done it, but I think it's going to work.
And by hell, if Darth Vader had done it that way, it would have made for a much funnier movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm thinking of getting some the Benny Hill music to sort of on a soundboard, just so I can touch that while I'm running around and around and around. I may as well have a laugh about it.
Yeah,
but this is even with Tainese gear on, and he's still whipping my ass.
And a Tainese gear is free in quotation marks, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it is free. You get to level 50 and you get a mission to go and see, at least for Sith Warrior, you get a mission to go and see the Tainese gear vendor on the fleet. And you get 99 commendations, I think it is, which is enough to buy a full set.
Because I've got an embarrassing admission here. In the past couple of weeks, ran a flashpoint, and when I selected which ones I was running for, didn't realise I'd selected a couple of hard mode options. Got put in a group for hard mode and had this very civilised group, actually, because they could have been much crueler, in a very bemused way, saying, mate, you haven't even got Tainese gear. You're nowhere near able to get through this flashpoint. Could you please go now? And as a guy that, allegedly podcasts about this game, I had no idea about the Tainese gear, and I still haven't picked it up, but I shall be.
Right. You and I need to have a talk offline.
Yeah. The civility of the group amazed me. They were so polite about it, whereas I would have expected, if I was them, I don't even know I would have been that polite, to be honest.
So, look, you've got to be. When someone presents themselves and they clearly... They're not being stupid. They just simply don't know. You can't be mean.
No, not unless you.
Well, you can be, but
I'm mean.
Yeah, you can be. But so, in all honesty, I'm seriously thinking about just ripping all of the mods out of the Tainese gear and just putting it in my orange gear, which I've been carrying around me for a while now, because the Tainese gear I've got, I look like the love child between a Cylon and an Edsel. It's just, it's ugly. It's ugly stuff. I don't know what the designers are thinking. If they're thinking it looks menacing, it doesn't. It looks like someone with a Meccano set's had a go at you. It's just bad.
So anyway, that was a long-winded way of congratulating you on hitting 50. So when's your second character hitting 50? Probably about the time mine is in 2015.
Oh, well, that'll be my bounty hunter. I think he's about 38 at the moment, so it might be a bit of time. I think I might just get my Sith Warrior and actually start banging around and exploring some of the more social aspects of the game. I think it's about time. Otherwise, I really need to sort of hand my microphone back in and someone else can sit here.
Yeah, fair enough too. So that's general gameplay, and obviously the biggest thing since episode 48 was the announcement of the first expansion, Rise of the Hutt Cartel. We won't go into the nitty-gritties of that, because I'm pretty sure anyone that listens to this is already playing the game and probably understands what's what's happening there. But, you know, it's the first expansion. You can pre-order it. I assume that, well, of course, there's still pre-orders available, but I think there was a close date for when you got early access.
Yeah, there was. It's been, I think it was the 7th.
That's right. I thought it was a few days back, yeah. It's essentially going to be a whole bunch of new story content, some new war zones, some new end content, predominantly set on Markeb.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know whether I call myself a fanboy, but I've obviously pre-ordered the expansion because I'm keen for the early access, so we can talk about it at the first available opportunity.
Just let me amend what you said there. You've paid for it as a subscriber. You've paid for the expansion again.
Oh, yeah, good point. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk. I'll throw to Christy for a minute, and we'll talk about that. That's a good point. So, Christy. Have you pre-ordered, or is the expansion something you're dead interested in, or otherwise?
I haven't pre-ordered, but I mean, expansions are expansions. I'm just thinking, like, I'm never going to reach level, the level cap's going to keep increasing. So I think when I get level 15, it'll be like next year and there'll be a new expansion. I'll be like level 60. I'll be like, no. But yeah, I love expansions.
Yeah, so do I. So let's move on to the issue about whether as a subscriber you have to pay for it. See, it sounds like we might be on different sides of the fence. My view is, and this is probably just because I've been brainwashed by WoW over so many years, I just associate expansions with forking out money, so it totally doesn't faze me. And the price was actually quite reasonable too, so $20 I don't have an issue with. But you raise a good point, Simon, as far as should subscribers be charged for it whilst free-to-players... should subscribers get it for nothing while free-to-players should pay for it or whatever? So give us your argument.
Well, it's like anyone who's been to court, it's based on precedent, really. For one thing, WoW isn't a free-to-play game, and the expansions are usually pretty substantial. I mean, we'll have to wait and see whether... Markeb is really going to offer the same scope and the same size of things as Mists did or Cataclysm. I mean, but those are pretty, they're pretty big expansions. I don't know whether Markeb is going to be that big. I'm happy to eat crow if it turns out that it is. I'd be happy if it is. But I've got a feeling we might see something possibly the size of the Alderaan at its largest. It being anything any bigger than that.
I think you're right on that. I don't think it'll be anywhere near the size of a WoW expansion. I suppose that's where I said $20 didn't faze me. I mean, a WoW expansion's $60, and I've assumed that this one will be about half the size or maybe less than half the scope of, say, a WoW expansion. So I thought, okay, that's all right. Whereas if it is only the size of a small Alderaan, then even I'm going to start to feel ripped off.
Yeah, I suppose based on okay, I'll give you that. But I mean, Rift, they added two continents with Storm Legion. Granted, that's about $40 to buy. So again, you're still looking at half that if you're free to play, or what was it, $10 if you're a subscriber. But then on the flip side, you look at games like DC Universe Online. If you're a subscriber, the DLC and I imagine the DLC will probably be closer in scope to what they do rather than what WoW or Rift do. You're a sub, it's free, and if not, you pay $10. I suppose that really it's going to come down to proof being in the pudding. If people are disappointed with what they get for the money, I think BioWare are probably going to get another bit of bad publicity. If everyone's really pleasantly surprised, and I hope to God we are, then yeah, that's fine. I'll eat humble pie, not a problem.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm the same, probably just from the other side of the fence. I'm cynical enough to think it probably won't be as exciting as what I'm thinking it will be, and I'm still scarred by the world event that whose name I can't even think of anymore. The pre-Christmas one.
Yes. I've blocked that from my mind as well.
I mean, if it's just a well-chained-together series of those, then I'll probably be pretty sad. And look, it's really hard to do much conjecture on this because we now have no transparency on how many subscribers there are versus free-to-players, because the proportions of those would maybe help you decide, well, why they've come up with this model the way they have. But we just don't know now. We don't know. We assume the game's growing because of free-to-play, but they're not releasing any information.
No, and it is difficult for them to quantify it, although I suppose if Jeff Hickman can be trusted, which is possible he can't be, the servers are rocking, according to him. So whether that means they have unsteady feet or whether that means something else, I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. And Jeff Hickman's a nice segue. We'll move on a sec from this because he did a relatively detailed state of the game update. But before I do, Chrissy, anything else about Rise of the Hutt Cartel? Or leave it there?
I was just thinking it'd be interesting if they sold it within the game, a bit like what the Secret World is doing, you know, selling it with is it cartel coins or whatever? Since you get those for free as a subscriber, kind of a way to
have a lot of fun points.
to make it so subscribers can buy it for free, so to speak, by spending their coins.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they actually want real money out of you.
Yeah,
they don't want the fake money they give you.
I'm just because I've got like 2,000 of these cartel coins. I'm like, what? Am I going to spend them on?
Yeah, I'm the same.
That's what the Cathar will cost you.
Yeah, and there will be a lot. That's right. I mean, that would be one of the most fascinating parts of the expansion will be what they do to the with cartel coins in the store and what's available and what they add. And yeah, quite right. So let's talk about Jeff Hickman's State of the Game update. So he, again, this is going back, 3rd of January he did this, or 2nd I think it was. So he covered a couple of issues. So this is outside of the expansion, and we'll briefly cover each of them. So he's saying there's going to be more endgame content, Rise of the Hutt Cartel being a big part of that, but there'll be new content released around it. So I'm assuming we might get something before, but definitely afterwards, as you'd expect. So he said, we have a plan mapped out for the upcoming year that'll keep the Elder Game, I don't like the term Elder Game, I think that's dumb, but anyway, fresh and interesting for players of all types. Overall, we're aiming to introduce a more diverse array of activities, more stuff to do with your companion, more challenges to tackle with groups, and more reasons for guilds to recruit. So that all sounds promising because the end game, as we all know, has been limited. It's really just been operations and world PvP, and they've got plans for it, although it's in that typical BioWare speak where there's absolutely no detail. Comments from you two? No. Tumbleweed.
I have a couple of thoughts.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, let me pay Jeff a compliment in that he's one of the finest spinners of bullshit I think I've ever come across. I understand why they say elder, because endgame makes it sound like it's the end, where obviously it's not. So, okay, I'll give them that. Part of his answer was about them introducing new content and activities for the Elder Game being a top priority in the coming year. Again, that just smacks of the typical BioWare nonsense of coming soon, coming soon. And without specifics, and what he lists as, you know, operations, flat points, new difficulty modes, new PvP, it's too general for it to be relevant. Yes, we've got Markeb coming up as part of the Rise of the Hutt Cartel. But that's content they've been promising and promoting for almost a year. Again, I just want them to put up or shut up. So it's good talking about these things, but again, it's just white noise. It's marketing white noise for the most part, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Christy?
Yeah, no, I'm pretty much on that, the exact same post.
Yeah, cool. PvP, he says that Ilum is to be fixed / changed with no new world PvP outside of Ilum coming this year. So PvPers aren't likely to be that thrilled. So to quote him, as for pure open world PvP, well, that's a more difficult proposition. And if you want me to start interpreting BioWare speak, it's like we probably haven't thought of it that much, and probably the engine we've built it all on too shitty to change easily. We're dedicated to providing excellent PvP experiences to our players. So, yeah, see, you've biased me now, Simon. Every sentence is full of bullshit.
I'm sorry.
But we intend to focus our energy on PvP seasons and new war zones, which is code for we can't really do anything else, so we'll just say we focus our energy on it. We will be experimenting with a different approach to open world PvP, something that encourages organic PvP in contested areas in new and interesting ways, but do not look for massive new open world PvP this year. So that's just a big nut, nothing's happening.
Yeah, well, I mean, they can't do anything with a full open world PvP as it was originally envisaged because Dallas Dickinson basically admitted that their heavily modified Hero engine can't cope with too many players or too many things happening on screen at once. The whole thing just grinds too well. We've seen the PowerPoint presentations that open world PvP was turning into before everyone decided it was a bad idea. So obviously what they're going to, well, not obviously, but I imagine what they're going to do is use Ilum as and have maybe introduce something like Rift and my brain's soft, Guild Wars 2, and having like a dynamic, or even like Warhammer, having dynamic contest areas, which will just work with much smaller numbers.
Yeah, so pop up in, you know, unexpectedly somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. I can't see how else they can do it. And as for the teasing of the special PvP area, well, clearly is talking about Elms. There wouldn't be anywhere else he's talking about. So
no.
I'd say that's all going to get wound up in the Grion Clave business that I think is coming up with 1.7, which actually sounds quite interesting. I'm quite keen to see how they get that to work, because the Grion are not something that we've seen a lot of. So with the Greek coming in and the Hutt cartel trying to regain their empire by making a play on Markheb, I think there's a lot of interesting potential coming up. It's just a matter of how well it's exploited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christy, PvP, anything?
Nope.
Excellent.
I'm really good.
That's good. Three, character transfers. So ability to transfer your characters to the PTS is coming soon, e.g. it should happen 2 years ago or a year ago. Live character transfers across the board coming this year. So you should expect to see the PTS transfers coming within the first part of this year. I mean, my response is that, well, you would think that would be a pivotal part of any testing, that you can do that anyway. I know we've talked about that before. It will provide free character copies to PTS at any time. I actually wouldn't have been that surprised if they tried to charge for PTS transfers just to cause more angst. But anyway, this will also lay the foundations for our new live character transfer system that will be coming later this year, so probably December. Christy, I'll go to you first on this one in the hope that you've got something to say.
I'm really, really surprised that it's taken them this long to be able to transfer characters to PTS. It's like, how are you supposed to test things without characters? I know it's one of my gripes as well when people do beta testing, how they'll only unlock like half the game. So, I mean, which is great because that means you haven't seen the other half of the game, but it also means when people get to the other half of the game, it's full of bugs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, free transfers always, I mean, you know, that's always good. Something that so many games are doing nowadays, it's almost, you kind of look at WoW and go, come on, mate. You're really still charging us, what is it, $25 or something like that?
Yeah, something like that, $25. But I need to emphasise, they're just saying free character copies to the PTS. They're not saying it'll be free transfers across the board.
Oh, just the PTS.
I'll guarantee you they won't do free transfers across the board.
Yeah.
I'd just about stake my life on it.
One day.
Yeah.
It's like you look at Guild Wars 2 and you think, yay, that's so easy. Yeah, but yeah.
Simon?
Yeah, I think I've probably said about everything. I don't understand. I don't know whether they do that, move their data around by filling a bucket full of 3.5-inch floppy disks and carrying it from one building to another. But that's the only reason. That's the only way. It's absurd. And the fact that from the closed beta to today, they still haven't been able to provide some crappy pre-built high-level character that you can use to test things. It's small wonder that people keep having problems and people keep getting frustrated, especially with the end game, especially with Ilum, which is where Endgame would have ended up. The reason that it fell apart when it was launched is because no one was able to test it adequately because they never gave people the opportunity to.
That's right.
I do not know what they're doing. It's just like a happy hour in Crazy Town. It's they're drunk and stupid. I don't understand it.
But we all love the game, don't we? All right, so
we do. But I do not love the infrastructure.
No,
agree. The client and their methodology in putting this thing together, they've screwed the pooch, quite frankly.
Yes.
They could have done so much better, and I'm still perpetually disappointed and frustrated that it's come to this.
Yeah.
But hopefully it's going to get better.
So we keep
hopefully.
Saying.
Yeah.
And then the fourth one I'll cover off before we move on is same-gender romance. And so basically he said, well, I'll quote him direct, "Unfortunately, this will take a lot more work than we realised at the time, and it, like some other pieces of content we talked about earlier in the year, I assume that means 2012, has been delayed as we focused on the changes required to take the game free to play. As you've said in the past, allowing same-gender romance is something we're very supportive of." So I see that the equivalent of Newt Gingrich in the US saying that he's very supportive of same-gender romance, as long as he doesn't have to say it on air and say it publicly. But so they're saying Marquee will contain some same-gender options. I suppose that's a good start. I mean, it's a total non-issue for me, but I can understand for some people it's a huge issue, and I'd be feeling let down if I were them. Christy?
As a bisexual, I would like to be able to experience one or the other, so
yeah,
I think it's good. I mean, variety is a spice of life, so
right.
Bring it on.
Indeed. Simon?
Sorry. Yes. I would like to see it implemented. I'd like to see it implemented properly. I'd like to see it implemented the way that they were talking about it before the game launched, while it was still in closed beta, blah, 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 blah. I don't understand how they could be talking about it that long ago and be going that more work than we realized at the time. What time? Which time?
Yeah.
How many times? When? Have they just been blowing smoke up people's asses and only just recently decided to see what's involved and they've suddenly realised it's too hard?
Yeah.
Again, what the hell are these people doing?
And because they made quite a hoo-ha, my recollection was that it was at the big guild summit they had was where they made the initial announcement about same-gender options. I could be as far as that they were aware of it and working on it. That was my recollection. And they made quite a deal of it.
Oh, yeah, I remember all those groups that were, like, calling them the devil and all that sort of stuff for having same sex.
It's, oh, true, like, yeah, there was that side of it as well. Probably Westboro Baptist Church.
Yeah. Great publicity, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
all those people that brought the game hoping for same-sex romance, and I'll be like, well, where is it?
Well, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, putting same gender romances into the game with NPCs. I mean, why would you bother? Really, why would you bother?
Yeah. Look, we'll just add it to the list of frustrations.
I'm waiting for the transsexuals now. Oh, sorry, the transgenders. So you can be a man but wear different armour and things like that.
And I would have thought if any lore universe would cover that stuff, it would be the Star Wars one, as far as just there's so much diversity anyway. So there's not a lot. There's no excuse not to do it besides what they're saying.
Well, that's the problem, of course. If you introduce this sort of thing, then it's Adam and Steve, and then it's marrying horses, and then cats marrying dogs, and the gates of hell open, and where are we then?
Oh, you're a funny bugger.
Awesome universe, I have to say.
It is. And for just in case, and I'm sure, I'd like to think no one didn't pick up that Simon was being sarcastic, but Simon was being sarcastic there.
Oh, yes, that was not sincere.
No, I don't want Westboro Baptist Church people shouting their support for you or other people complaining. So there you go. That's a state of the game. I think we'll leave Star Wars The Old Republic there for now and move straight on to The Secret World. Big month for Secret World as well with, and we'll talk about the timing of this. I had some real issues with the timing, but in the lead up to Christmas, it was one of the most hectic event periods I've ever seen for an MMO, with issue 5 going live on the Secret World, B, the alternate reality game to coincide with that, and then there was also the end of days event. So I don't even know where to start with this stuff. It's that much. But let's talk about the alternate reality game. So for those unaware, they launched a pretty cool website whose URL now escapes me. I'm sure one of you guys will rattle it off. Where you did a number of, what would you call them, activities/quests. And I think I only did the first 4 or 5, and then Christmas totally got in the way. But I'll talk about the timing in a minute. Starting with you, Simon, how'd you find the ARG?
Well, they sent me an email and I clicked on the link.
I love your literal interpretations. You're right, so did I. And did you enjoy, how did you, now you'd make me search for an alternative to find.
I did enjoy it, yes. I think the website was called The Morning Light or something like
that. Yeah.
TheMorningLight.org.
Ah, right. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the cryptic email they sent through and then clicking on it and then being confronted by that wall of screens and the creepy dude who looked a bit like the Unibomber, but I don't know if that was deliberate.
Yeah, he did, actually. That's a good
still
point.
A bit creepy. I thought it was really good. The countdown timer added a nice piece of agony, the little pop-up chat window where you could see everyone else struggling and to find an answer and comparing notes. That was good. It was good. You felt like you were part of something quite successfully. And the investigations were tricky. They were really tricky. The only one I managed to get the full 200 points on was the second one. And that's just because I unfortunately knew more about Jonestown than I probably should have.
Yeah. Christy, how did you find it? Not via email.
I found it really, really enjoyable. I only got about halfway through it myself because that was, you know, life decided to get hectic. But, it was kind of spooky and it kept, I must admit that I went online and people were talking about it and there were even these little Easter eggs and stuff happening all throughout and I was like, so kudos. I really enjoyed it. Pity I didn't finish it.
Yeah, same.
I think it's still up though, actually, so I might try to get it
done.
Yeah,
it is.
Before it goes away.
Oh, good point. Yeah, because the end of days events finish in game, but you're right, the website's probably still there. I liked it purely because of the atmosphere. So Secret World's always drawn me in by the beautiful atmosphere it generates in-game, and they more than generated that with this. It's just superb from start to finish. The only two things I didn't like about it was that I'm absolutely shit at puzzles. So I can't do a cryptic crossword. I don't like Sudokus. So I struggled with aspects of this and ended up, you know, Googling and cheating on a whole bunch of it to get to the next stage. And the other thing I didn't like is just timing. I would have loved to have spent a serious amount of time devoted to it, but for a lot of people that lead up, you know, if they're lucky enough to have time off work, they're wrapping up things at work. If they haven't got time off work, it's just a hectic time of year anyway. And it just seemed a really bad time to do it.
Yeah, I just look at my emails. Number 4 went live on the 20th, 5 went live on the 21st, and 6 went live on the 22nd.
Yeah.
Which I think that was my last week of work. I was all frantic, frantic, frantic.
Yeah. So, I mean, my only request would be Funcom guys, just next time, please do it at, you know, I don't care, even if it's October or November or July, or I don't care, but, or probably not October because the Yanks do their Thanksgiving, but. Please, not around Christmas.
I don't know when the trouble is I'm not sure when the next apocalypse is supposed to happen, so.
True. And see, I'm losing track of time now. I think it was after we recorded last episode that the free-to-play happened, wasn't it? I don't know. I'd have to look back. But anyway.
No, I think it just before, maybe.
Yeah, so we did talk about it.
Yeah, I think we did.
Yeah. So, and the,
I
again,
think it was like only a couple of days beforehand from memory.
Yeah.
And
it was because we talked about Joel's video.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, those were awesome.
It was great.
I think there needs to be more Australians in game director positions across a lot of MMOs. I think the world would be a better place.
I agree. Hire me.
Yeah, there you go. I'd be up for that because then maybe you'd give me some lowly job in the industry. So, yeah, well done, Funcom, on that. And then the game itself, issue 5's gone live, end of day's event. I didn't begin because being the time of year it was, I played bugger all of The Secret World until the last week or so. But I, you know, since free to play and all this stuff, the servers seem to be going well. There's definitely more people around. And the highlight of my life is I've finally moved on, I believe, from King's Mouth, and I actually am on the Savage Coast and just holding my own. So for me, that's an achievement.
Excellent.
Congratulations.
And I've got a mate, Phil, who I believe listens to this podcast. So shout out to you and Gail, of course. So I've got my traditional Gail shout out in there. He jumped into The Secret World on my recommendation or this podcast recommendation, and he's spent dozens and dozens of hours in there and is, you know, well past Egypt and or sun god, whatever it is.
Oh,
and
wow. He didn't ring you up while drunk and tell you that you're insane and that he's better.
And I'd like to know, Gail enjoyed, yeah, so for those that weren't here last episode, Gail, one of our most dedicated listeners, hated The Secret World and said it we should play Call of Duty to get an idea of how a real game should be played. She enjoyed our comments last podcast, so that was good. No, Phil's loving it, and you know he's the sort of bastard that's offering me. I'm in all QL10 gear now, and I've got some QL5s and 6s. Would you like them? And just based on being a purist, and also just being jealous, I've gone no, piss off with you. I want to earn it myself. But yeah, so he's a bastard, but he's a good bastard. So
that's the main thing.
That's right. And both you guys, I believe, with Christmas haven't done a lot of Secret World.
No, I was after I said that I was going to get to level 50, I sort of kind of had to get to level 50.
Yeah, no, more
or lose what little credibility I may have.
Yeah, more than reasonable.
Yeah, I did a little at the end of days, but I'm stuck in this. I have to get the inner will done. And so I'm just running around Savage Coast repeating quests and stuff and just trying to get that, you know, will done. I'm almost there. It's like 20 points away and then I'll be like, yay, I'm so the ruler of the starter decks.
So you're doing that from a completionist in that you want the whole inner will done, or are you just completing the inner will for what you've specced up as?
No, as a completionist. I want to get them all.
My God.
So I've done all but one weapon.
Bloody hell.
You're doing it from a spiritual basis because the wheel system looks like a mandala. So you do it, otherwise your chakras won't balance or something like that.
Exactly. All right. So that was The Secret World. We'll now just move on to some general discussion before we wrap it up. We're not going to talk about WoW because I know you guys didn't get any WoW time in, and I probably spent a dozen hours in the last month playing WoW, of which 11 and a half of those hours were pet
battles.
Yay, this is so cute.
And that's my completionist obsession in that I'm trying to get all the safari achievements and so on, and trying to battle the master pet tamers is driving me insane. But it's great fun. I tell you now, I would nearly argue a WoW subscription's worth it just for the pet battles.
Wow.
That's how sad. But that's
fun words.
Yeah, I quite rightly get howled down by a lot of people for that, though. But so we won't go into too much WoW. I know the things that we talked about before the show we'd cover was, let's talk Marvel Heroes first. So I know Simon and I in particular are a bit excited about Marvel Heroes. Just a little. So to give overview of news, they're in closed beta now. Last week they announced that you could buy I haven't bought up the site, but I think they're called premium packs, weren't they? And then there's a founders packs. But there was, I mean, even though it's going to be a free to play game, there are these packs that give you access to either series of heroes, or if you're super obsessed and stupid and nerdy, you can get the big pack for $199.99 US. It gives you all the heroes and a whole bunch more. Not that anyone on this podcast would do that.
No,
definitely. No, definitely not.
So Simon and I did spend $200 each. And so that's great. And we got our closed beta access. And
we just have to wait for the servers to come
up. So the servers are only, they only coming up particular times of the week, which is fair enough. So they stress test the servers. The next one, I haven't actually done the time conversions, but I think it's sort of not that early Wednesday or tomorrow morning for us. So tomorrow morning. But about three times a week, and they're rotating times. I'm having some huge issues being able to download the bloody beta game content to be able to test it, and I'm not alone. So they're having some issues with firewalls and Windows and so on. But Simon, yours is downloaded in full, isn't it?
Yeah, downloaded in full. I had a little bit of trouble initially getting the launcher to run, but I think that's partly because they've my computer and the bit of a budgy job I made installing Windows on it. I had the same problem with PlanetSide installer, but once I got it going, it's downloaded pretty quickly. The whole thing's sitting there, so I'm just sort of sitting, waiting.
So, I mean, there'll be the usual glitches, and we obviously don't have a launch date. I mean, my vibe just from the amount of people having trouble downloading the launcher and the content is I still think we've got a few months yet before we've got it. Well, though closed beta, I suppose. Oh, yeah, well, they've got to go open beta first if they choose to. So
yeah, I mean, it's early days. Yeah, and trust me, there's another game which I've probably ragged on enough this podcast, which had some issues at this stage as well. And anyway, that's the beauty of an NDA.
I suppose
the NDA really covers issues with the launcher.
No,
hopefully
so
you're probably
not.
Clear on that one.
Yeah, hopefully not, because I mean, we certainly won't be covering any details about the game that aren't covered by the NDA. I actually read the NDA this time, and it's pretty standard, but quite rightly, they don't want too much information spread. But yeah, so we're pretty excited, and I had a nice Twitter conversation with Stephen Reed, who Star Wars: The Old Republic people who followed the game over the last year will know well and truly, and he obviously was part of the restructure, wasn't he, at BioWare? So he lost his job there, and
yeah, he was one of the first out the door.
Yeah, and moved on to Gazillion and is one of their chief community people there. Had a nice Twitter conversation with Stephen last week where I said, damn you and your game, it's made me spend $200 I should be spending on food. And he responded quite nicely. And then I said, and when are we going to see Dazzler in game? And he responded saying, I can't actually remember exactly what, but, you know, we're always looking at putting new stuff in. And I said, well, you can never have enough roller skates in an MMO. And I think he realised then I was just taking the piss, although I'd love the Dazzler, as I've said many times on this podcast.
Yes, and we'll have to address that sometime, really.
What hero are you going to play, Simon?
Deadpool.
Oh, I think you'll be one of many.
I will.
I'm going to have to spend $200 now.
So, yeah, well, check it out, Chrissy. What hero would you play?
Iron Man, of course. Okay. And I just realised that the $200 one, you get a special Iron Man 3 movie armour, and it looks cool.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, you get so many of them. There's so many of them with that. Every damn costume at launch.
So, Iron Man would be... I still haven't thought... Is Colossus one of the options?
Yep.
I think I might start off with that. So, and he'll be called Weezin' Henry just for something different. Weezin' Henry Colossus. So that's Marvel Heroes. And it is going to... I know back when we moved from Tauros to the Oceanic Gamer, we were up front way back then, that Marvel Heroes will be definitely one of the MMOs we cover. So expect more news and views on that. Christy, first R18 game.
Yes. On Friday, the first game in Australia to be classified as R18+. It's awesome. It's like it's not just talk now. It's actually happening.
And it's been a long time coming. So.
Oh, hasn't it ever? I'm getting – now I don't have to be all – you know, when the Americans go, ha, 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 you and your silly censorship, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, and I mean, for those, I think most people are aware of this, but the brief synopsis is that until we've had an R18 classification, game manufacturers either had to tone down the game to meet the lower classifications or that it wasn't allowed in. So it's a big thing to have that changed.
Yeah, you've
finally grown
in,
up.
Yeah.
We're adults now. But it'll be interesting to see what happens because the R18 plus rating I didn't think was as open as it should be, but
no.
So we just have to sort of see what does get rejected in the future, and it's a pity. I don't know if games can get reclassified. I heard somewhere that they can't, so things like Left 4 Dead 2 is going to be stuck with our stupid Australian version. Meh.
So how does that work with Steam? Like I've got Left 4 Dead 2 from Steam. Do I get the Australian version or the American version?
If you brought it with an Australian account, you got an Australian version. Okay. If you brought it with an American account, yeah, and gifted it to your Australian account, then you got the American version.
No, I just bought
that's
it.
A little insight.
Oh, there we go.
But yeah, that's what happened during the Steam sale. They pulled the pack because the Left 4 Dead 2 apparently was the American version. They can't sell that here, and they couldn't work out, I don't know, they couldn't do the pack, so it was the Australian version. So yeah, if you had an Australian account, the whole pack got pulled, which was very, very sad.
That sucks.
Yeah, I'm kind of just glad I survived the Steam sale this year. It was a bit touch and go there.
Yeah.
I spent my Steam sale money on something which may or may not include Spider-Man. So.
I wasn't thinking $200 out of my savings. Yeah, it's totally worth it.
Well, the justify it this way. You get $50 worth of in-game currency and 50 bonus dollars currency. So it's effectively $100 because that's probably currency you'd end up buying anyway.
Yeah, you're nearly losing money by not buying it.
You guys,
well, if you're buying all the costumes,
advisors.
Yes.
Yeah, that well, that's true. If you were if you were a major costume junkie, you would lose money by not buying this pack.
Oh, I am a bit of an appearance freak.
Yeah, well, so think about that.
And running around as the Black Panther might be kind of cool, especially if you can do the whole cat thing.
Oh, see, there's another one I wouldn't mind. Oh.
Yeah.
See, I might be going off the Dazzler now. Oh, it's a human fly. See, I'd be wrapped if the human fly, although I think he was a licensed property for Marvel. Human fly I'd love to. Anyway, Terra, free to play.
Yes, next month. No date as of yet, but next month Terra will be going free to play. I believe it's already free to play in the Korean version. So it's going sort of the Ion way. So you've got your free to play where you don't pay anything, but you're limited to like characters per server. And you got your founders. So in other words, if you brought the game, you pretty much get everything you got when you actually brought the game. So everything you had when you played it before. So you don't have any bank restrictions, character restrictions, which is kind of weird because you have, they're calling it the elite status, which is your monthly, your $14.99 a month. But that has restrictions on it that the founder doesn't. So the elite status only has two per server. I'm guessing this is so if you subscribe and then you drop back, so you drop back to the free version, you don't have extra characters. If you buy the game, though, you become a founder. So it's kind of interesting. I don't see why you'd want to subscribe if you're not already a founder. But, the only real benefit to being the elite status, so paying the sub, is that you get shorter dungeon cooldowns, extra daily quests. So pretty much if you're really keen on the game, and you're probably already paying $15 a month, so no difference there. You just get a few more advantages. Okay. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to pulling out the Yulin again. It's so cute.
See, I'm a total ignoramus with Terra, and I was probably turned off it by some other people that slagged the crap out of it when it launched. So, but yeah, I've got no decent comment to make on it, Simon.
I did play it. It's a beautiful game. I quite like the directional combat in that you've got to actually keep manually locking onto your target to hit it. So it's also possible to evade, and I do like that. But I have to admit, there's just so many other games to for me to try and keep my limited attention on. It's just that, along with League of Legends, it's just, and sadly Rift, it's just one of the games that I haven't gone back to. Yeah. But I hope it does well, because I think it's got a lot to recommend it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're the ones with the where you vote. You vote in the lord or the king of an area, don't you?
Chris,
hello?
Sorry. Hello?
I could hear the mouse clicking. Were you off browsing something and losing track of the conversation?
I had it muted, so I don't know what you were hearing. Is there someone behind you?
Yeah, could be too.
But yes, that's the one. It's down to only 3 servers now, if you can run for Vanarchy, that's what it's called. And you get to set the tax and all that sort of stuff. I think it's a fun casual game, but I'm definitely not going to seriously play it again. Just whenever I need my cute fixes.
Fair enough.
Because, you know, sometimes you need cute.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's all right. Get Marvel Heroes and you can play Hulk. He's cute.
He is cute.
That's why I want to play Iron Man. Yeah, he's cute.
Okay.
I was about to say years, and I thought, no, I better not say years. And then just you mentioned the Steam sale, so I think a lot of people spend a lot of money on games. The only one that I bought and have played a bit of is I finally bought The Walking Dead, which, for those unaware, is an episodic, very heavily story-driven game. It's a little bit like the old text-driven MUD adventure, just with some fairly decent graphics. A lot of fun and totally in the Walking Dead universe. You do come across some characters from the TV series, or at least they look like them. They're not the same characters, but you can see that they've nodded to them. Good fun, highly recommended. I think I got it for $12, but even at full price at $24 for the 5 episodes, it's a good value game. So highly recommend it, and very easy to come in and out of casually. And tricky too, so you do have to think about it, so which means I've had to Google again and cheat because I don't do puzzles.
You need to call a friend.
I do.
Maybe someone who's got level 10.
Yeah, that's right. Phil, we need you in Walking Dead. So is there anything else we'd like to talk about before we wrap? No. There's one other thing I wanted to give a quick shout out, and that's to our intrepid comics reporter on the site, Sean Robertson, who is an absolute machine doing comic reviews every single week, and usually a couple or three of them, and doing a great job. So if you haven't read comics for years and used to, it's worth reading what he's got to say just about what's out there, and some of it will be familiar as far as, you know, well-known DC and Marvel characters, but he also goes off the beaten track and gives you pointers to new stuff. And comics have experienced a real resurgence, and I know I'm biased because I love them myself, but it's something we're really pleased to have on the site. And Sean, you're a machine, and thank you for all the writing. And also, I know I've given a shout-out to her once before, but I feel the need to again, is Jemima, who's been doing the WoW zone-by-zone achievement guides. Jemima just submitted to me today part 8 of that. We've only posted, I think, the first 6. And they're amazing. If you're a WoW junkie or a WoW achievement junkie, these guides are a must-have. So check them out, and they're free. So well done, Jemima. So nothing else from you guys?
Well, just while we're on the subject of comics, anyone out there who's interested in comics, loves comics, or is just curious to see what's out there, why not, if you've got an iPad or a Microsoft Surface or even just a computer, get the Comixology app, or go to their website and have a look, because you can download these things digitally. They look fantastic. And you can put them on your portable device and read them where you go, so you don't have to worry about getting marmalade on the thing and sticking the pages together or any of that kind of crap anymore.
That's right.
It's a really good way of reading your favorite characters. And, you know, the price is very comparable. And if you're even better, if you like collecting them, but you don't want to read them because you don't want to take them out of their baggie, again, get one of these. And a lot of them will have a complimentary download code where you buy the comic, you peel the little label off, and you punch that into the app, and you'll get a free electronic version of it. So yeah, that's something else to look at.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, Comixology's become the default go-to app for comics just over the last couple of years. There are other ones out there, but it's the one.
And it's huge. It's got so many of them. Not all of them, but it's, you know, if chances are if there's a mark you're after, it's in there.
Yes. Agreed. I like my bags and boards, but I do read them first. So just
not mint condition. That's an NM
at best.
No, I
don't care about that. I just like keeping them for posterity, but I'm not interested in making money out of them. So yeah, I think that puts me in the semi acceptable band of collectors.
Puts you in the realistic band of collectors. Anyone that keeps them thinking they're going to be rich one day is probably a delusional twit.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, agreed.
Aww.
So there we
have
it.
Dream.
Yeah, exactly.
I like dreaming.
So there's episode 49 done. So that means that the next episode, unless my maths has gotten really bad, is 50. And we've got some really exciting plans for episode 50. Actually, we don't. We need to talk about what we're going to do for episode 50.
But I got all excited then.
Yeah, I'd like to say, you know, come back 50 and we'll have all sorts of extravaganzas. We did put out a call on our Facebook page, and the overwhelming suggestion was that we had to have a sing-along.
Oh.
And the song of choice was Shiny Happy People by R.E.M. So we'll talk about that offline. I somehow don't think we'll be doing that.
Yeah, let me write that idea down.
Yeah, that's right.
If you want to have your ears bleeding, then I will surely can sing as much as you like,
yeah,
I promise.
We'll have to think about that. But overall, episode 50 might be a little bit of a look back, but not too much. I think we'll just still cover the news, and we will hopefully, and I haven't touched base in a bit over a week, but hopefully we will have Ed back to join us. We will have a couple of our other co-hosts over time. So, Mark, if you're listening, I'm about to email and ask you if you'd join us next fortnight. And Scope is going to join us. Sorry, I just had a mental blank then. Who joined us a couple of episodes back and was a font of knowledge. So I know he's keen to join us. And it's really just going to be how well the technology holds up with that many people on as to how we go with that. We may do it in segments. So if you're silly enough to have listened this far, you've just got a preview of the fact that I've done no preparation for episode 50 and we're going to wing it like we always do. And thank you to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've definitely ended that on a low, so I wouldn't expect anything less. And we'll see you all in, I assume, a fortnight for episode 50. Bye.
See you there.
Bye.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.